Welcome to the Sustaining Creativity Podcast. I'm your host, Mari Riesberg. Over the past several years, I've combined my degrees in acting and somatic psychology to share my sustaining creativity techniques with performers, and now I've decided to share it with a bigger audience that includes you. I believe we are all creative, and this podcast is all about that. I'll be interviewing people from all backgrounds, ages, and creativity experiences to share just how creative we all are. Today, I'll be chatting with Dr. Arielle Schwartz, licensed clinical psychologist, somatic therapist, certified yoga instructor, as well as an author. Please enjoy Dr. Arielle Schwartz. Welcome to the Sustaining Creativity Podcast. Today, I'm here with Dr. Arielle Schwartz. She and I have known each other for quite some time. I think we met in 2008 or seven, something around there. She was a substitute neuroscience teacher when I was in grad school for my master's degree.
That was how we met. Yes, jumping in there. That's so fun. Oh yeah, and we created a cell together, or a neuron or something.
We did. We embodied a cell and a neuron and the synapse and that whole process and experience. I've never forgotten that. And so that's the first time we met. And then over the years have had many more path crossings. And I'm really excited for you to be here today. And I can't wait to hear about all of your musings on creativity. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me here. That was just such a fun moment, a creative moment in history to tune back into.
Absolutely. Well, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about who you are and what you do, so those listening have a better sense of where you come from.
I am happy to do so. So I am a clinical psychologist in Boulder, Colorado, and I have a background in somatic psychology. So initially I had gotten my master's in somatic psychology back in the mid-1990s and went back to school to get a clinical psychology degree and really do further research on the integration of mind-body therapies into psychotherapy. And I am also a certified yoga teacher, and I teach trauma-informed yoga, and I'm an author of currently four books and two more on the way. So creativity is very much a active part of my life. I love to write, and I write a blog, and it's a really fun way for me to synthesize what I learn and give back to the world. So,
wonderful. So amazing. Thank you. Four books and two on the way. Oh my goodness. That's super exciting.
Sounds like children. I'm pregnant with twins right now.
Oh my gosh. That sounds
Which one needs my attention now?
Right. Exactly. But it also sounds like really cultivating a lot of creative juices and creativity to birth the books in that process.
And it's true.
So what would you say it means to be creative to you?
You know, I would say that word synthesizing what I learn is a big part of it for me, that there's a way in which, and I don't mean just intellectual learning, but a way of integrating what I experience in the world in a meaningful fashion. So whether it's walking on the trails, as I do a lot of here in Boulder, Colorado, and noticing as just tuning into this morning itself, and as I was walking, and I came across a snake pit, which was really quite metaphorically fun, in knowing that I was going to talk to you about creativity. And you know, right there and then, there is this kind of potent moment of out of this hole in the earth, these snakes are emerging and they're coming up, and you look up in the sky, and up above that, there are these vultures flying, right? And it's just a very kind of brilliant moment of aliveness. And to me, the world is filled with these potential moments of capturing our attention and drawing it to either something of beauty, something of disturbance, mm-hmm. a moment of suffering even. But when our attention is captivated by that experience and we can wrap around it, there is this kind of sensory experience of information. And for me personally, taking the time either through writing or reflecting or even taking a photograph, that these moments of allowing that which I experience in the world to become integrated into the fibers of my being in a way that then I can make sense or have a meaningful relationship to what is. And then there's this kind of giving back, that the creative process in a way is the actualizing journey from whatever it is that I've experienced. And then a way of saying, ah, how can I synthesize this in a communicable form where someone else might benefit from that internal journey into the dark, right? Into the mm-hmm. snake pit, and then come back out to the surface.
Nice. Yeah. I like the image of absorbing through your senses, something you see or hear or notice in your environment, experiencing it on a more somatic or body journey to then return back to the world in support of someone else or how they might experience that perspective in a new way. I really appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, so often when I'm writing, if I hit a point of feeling blocked in my process, mm-hmm. my kind of guaranteed re-spark of the creative process for myself is to either go into my body through a yoga practice or a movement practice of some kind, dancing, where it's very much having to drop the center of gravity into the felt experience, or to go in nature. And to shift channels of how I'm experiencing myself in the world. And all of a sudden, that next little piece of what I want to write about is just right there.
Mm-hmm. You
know? And to really trust that letting go and shifting into another way of being.
Yeah. That idea, the piece that you just talked about, trusting yourself or trusting whatever comes will be that next thing or spark that next moment. Yeah, I have a very strong belief that trusting ourselves gives us greater capacity to experience creativity or express creativity, move with creativity in our lives in a more fluid fashion. And you also talked about challenges and blocks. And I'm curious what other challenges you face around creativity, mm-hmm. maybe outside of writing specifically.
Well, the first thought that comes to mind actually was initially the time that I was writing my first book, mm-hmm. and the biggest barrier that I felt in the process of writing was my own dismissive voice, mm-hmm. the voice inside of myself that had some version or another of, what does this really matter? Who's going to really benefit from this? It's already been said. Why should you think that you've got something important to say out there? And, you know, I'm a psychologist. I'm very aware that I've internalized those voices from one place or another, right? And I know that I'm not alone. Like, it's very common to dismiss ourselves and our own wisdom and our own creative force, our own capacity to make a difference. And so when I started to wake up or to realize that I was up against my own internalization of that, I really needed to go in therapeutically and work with the introjects, if I'll borrow mm-hmm. from a psychological term here, but the way that we internalize those negative critical voices from the kinds of experiences that we have growing up and in the world. And I really needed to cultivate a dialogue within myself with those, the inner bullies that were telling me that I didn't have the value or the worth to put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the first time that I sold a book manuscript, I really undersold it. I undervalued it because I didn't know that it was going to make a difference. And retrospectively, this year, that first book sold 50,000 copies.
Wow. Congrats on that. That's amazing.
That's pretty amazing. And it was, you know, I don't regret that I learned the lesson, because the lesson in itself is worth, you know, more than I could have spent in therapy, right?
Right.
Like the recognition, because I have received letters and emails and, you know, WhatsApp texts from around the world of people saying, your book made a difference. It helped me heal. It saved my life. Like, wow. Right. And so the wake up into realizing that I was just wrestling with my own inner demons. And once I could get those out of the way, you know, as I've said now, three books came since and there's two more, like it just opened up the wellspring of trusting myself.
Yeah. Nice. So do you think, well, I guess I'll preface this with, many people I speak with about creativity have this belief system that they are not creative, they wish they were, or they'd like to be. And you were just talking about the kind of inner bully. What are your thoughts about why people consider themselves to not be creative?
I think that we get a kind of restrictive view on what creativity really means. Mm-hmm. And I even think about something that Viktor Frankl talks about in his work on meaning and meaning making, especially, you know, his work was so much about trauma recovery. And when I wrote the post-traumatic growth guidebook, I went back to some of his writings on meaning making. And one of the three core components of meaning making that he discusses is creative values, creative meaning. But he broadens out the scope of what creativity is really about. So it's not just that I wrote a poem or that I painted a painting or that I, you know, choreographed a dance, but, you know, creativity is about any ways in which we express ourselves in the world. And, it can be quite spontaneous. It can also be a constructive act. So for example, you know, during our coronavirus, during COVID, my husband has been building a garden. It's a wonderful constructive activity that can be done here at home. And to watch him be so creative in this process of, you know, where each plant goes and the excitement of watching the seed sprout and to be part of that with our children. It's absolutely a beautiful creative project. Mm-hmm. So creativity can be kind of like that seed that's sprouting, anything within us that's ready to emerge and come to the surface.
Yeah. That idea that, you know, what the maybe cultural or stereotypical idea of what creativity is can be so much more than that. Mm-hmm. I like that idea that it's not just the performance or the piece of music or the poem. It's also the dinner you make for family or the choosing a new way to drive home from the grocery store.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think about, you know, for me, when my children were younger, now they're 14 and 17, but when they were younger, a lot of my creative energy went into like the creativity of how do we pick up our toys, right? Right? Like a little bit of that Mary Poppins creativity of like, and how do we make the transition out of the house, even though you don't want to leave what you're doing right now? Mm-hmm. And so creativity can be an interactive process. And I think the other misunderstanding about creativity is that we get focused on the product and that, you know, to really shift back to the process of creativity as its own meaningful component versus just what is somehow the created thing or that materialistic focus.
Yeah, that product. So many people I've interviewed have really talked about how for them creativity is the process. It's not the product. The final ending point is great and that to them doesn't feel like the pinnacle of creativity. For them, the process of it is more, feels more the pinnacle for them. Yes. So, yeah. So yeah. What's your earliest memory of creativity?
It's so fun. I have such a clear memory of this. And I suppose it's connected to the fact that, of course, I then became a writer and an author. So I loved Hello Kitty when I, when
I was, I love it.
I was like 7, 8. And I collected stickers. Hello Kitty. There was this like melody bunny and these little twinkle stars, that whole genre. So I would collect stickers. And then at some point, I remember I had been given a journal and I decided to create a storybook. And I, gosh, it's got to be in my childhood home somewhere. I'll have to ask my mom if she finds it to send it to me. I'm sure it lives there somewhere. But I created a whole book based on the stickers, and I would kind of use a sticker of Hello Kitty, and then I would put the words in there about kind of telling what happened that day, and then the bunny would come in, and then the twinkle stars, and all of the different stickers, and it kind of became this book that I wrote that had stickers in it. And, but I just remember loving the process, right? Of choosing the sticker and putting it in there and just letting it unfold.
That's such a great memory. And what a fun, but I mean, it makes me want to think like, oh, I have so many stickers too. That would be a, like a really creative writing exercise as an adult too, not just as a kid. I think that would be really quite fun.
Yeah. I was thinking too about that question of like why some people don't see themselves as creative or what can be some of the barriers around creativity. And I think one of the challenges that we can face is that that it takes a letting go. We talked about trusting yourself, right? Mm-hmm. But that process of kind of metaphorically going into the dark.
Yeah.
And allowing ourselves to kind of go into the unknown. And I think for many of us, and especially because I specialize in trauma, especially for individuals with a trauma history, that process can feel very frightening. Because sometimes with the creative process, I think most often, what we have to do is go to the place where we don't know what's going to bubble to the surface.
Right.
And to be with that not knowing, or to go underground into that cave or that snake hole, right? I'm scared I might find something that I don't want to see. I'm scared I'll feel something I don't want to feel. And so, you know, I do think that having support for the creative process, that if something touches you or feels uncomfortable, that you know that you can have kind of community or a therapeutic support or whatever that looks like to know that that's normal, mm-hmm. and to kind of help you work through those uncomfortable places so that we have more capacity to be with the unknown.
Yeah, that idea of feeling safe enough to explore the unknown. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the other piece for me in my sustaining creativity work of finding that foundation of safety and trust within ourselves to take creative risk from, but have that foundation to come back to tap back into when the creative risk or project or experience is over. Yeah, I think that's a really big piece of why creativity can be scary or why it can feel overwhelming to people who have a trauma history or have experienced trauma in their life as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had another thought that bubbled up here to my own consciousness. This is a book that I assume you're familiar with. This is Twyla Tharp's The Creative Habit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. And that book had a really huge influence on me because it actually allowed, it's the book that influenced my writing of the post-traumatic growth guidebook.
Oh, okay.
So what I did was when I read that and the suggestion to commit oneself to a creative habit, that even on the days when you don't feel creative, right? That we go ahead and do it anyway. So what I decided to do, this was about, oh goodness, I want to say maybe 3 or 4 years ago, okay. I decided to once a week write what I called a Friday reflection. Mm-hmm. And you're probably familiar with my Friday reflections
because yes,
we've seen them over the years. So once a week, I would commit myself to the task of sitting down and just allowing whatever was moving in me or stirring in me or that I was reflecting on as a result of what had happened that week. And I would just sit down and write. And sometimes it would be 100 words. Sometimes it would roll longer, just depending on kind of what was moving in me. Mm-hmm. And, but if you commit to that for a year, all of a sudden you have 52 reflections, right? And yeah. If you accumulate that across 3 years, that ends up being a lot of words.
Yeah. Right?
So what I decided to do after about 3 years of these reflections was I imagined that each one was a little pearl. Mm. And that I then imagined that if I were to take these pearls and string them together, that they could create a kind of cohesive whole. Mm-hmm. And so as I started to do that and started to look at the relationship between these different kind of nuggets of creativity that had, mm-hmm. or pearls of creativity that had come forth across several years, I saw my own themes, mm-hmm. and explored this arc of trauma recovery all the way through to resilience and post-traumatic growth that in a way mirrored and I took advantage of this mirroring the hero's journey, that mm-hmm. aspect of how in a way we all need to be called to face again those inner demons or our own darkness or our own frightening places, the dragons, right? Mm-hmm. Metaphorically, that we need to slay in order to retrieve ourselves, restore mm-hmm. our inner masculine and feminine balance, which I think is so deeply connected to creativity, mm-hmm. and to retrieve the chalice, right? To be able to tap into that source. And so this book really ended up taking this arc as I strung it together, and it's of the pieces of work that I have out in the world, it's the one that I really feel is imbued with my own creative process the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that idea that in the beginning you were just doing weekly reflections, and it wasn't until many years later where you sat down and looked at all of them and mm-hmm. had that idea of, oh, they go together, and how can I continue to piece them together? And yeah, that idea that creativity, you know, in that process is very different than putting it together for a final product.
Yes.
Yeah. It reminds me of in grad school, we had to do a creative habit, and I chose painting my heart every week for the entire semester. And to see how it changed over the course of that semester, and how it began very literal painting of what a heart looked like from my imagination. And then as soon as I got bigger paper, how it completely changed into a very abstract representation of what it felt like to have a heart. Mm. And so that, yeah, that idea of a creative habit, how when you trust it can change and shift and morph into something even bigger or more than I ever thought it could be when I started.
That's a lovely story. Yes.
I was just thinking about that when you were talking about the creative habit. Mm-hmm. So what is an everyday issue in your life that you use creativity to solve?
Oh, what a lovely question. I would say that there's quite a few. Like if I go back to parenting, mm-hmm. my own parenting of and connecting to family, I would say that that's very much a creative endeavor, although maybe, again, it doesn't fall in the traditional category of creativity. But from a perspective of problem solving, one that really comes to mind is the ways that and I know I am not alone in this, but you know, I have various physical ways that I gather tension, where that shows mm-hmm. up, like I'm prone to headaches, or I can sometimes develop tension or pain in my low back. And the process of getting onto my yoga mat and going inward and allowing sensations to guide movement almost always unfolds insight and awareness and connections between how my emotions can present as kind of a somatic tension when I'm not fully aware of them, when they're not fully on the surface. So the kind of deep dive of an embodied journey, and again, it's often very private. You know, it's not a creative process that is for anyone's benefit other than my own well-being and mental and emotional. Of course, it has great benefits to everyone else when I'm not cranky for a headache.
Right.
Right. But that creative process of trusting and going into the body is very beneficial for me.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, I know I've seen some of your mini yoga posts that you have on social media. And whenever I see them, all I think is, my goodness, Arielle is so willing to show up in her vulnerability in these moments. Mm-hmm. And it's such a beautiful thing to witness and see, even on social media. So thank you for sharing those moments with us. I really appreciate it and feel like it inspires me to show up in my vulnerability more in my own life as well.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's nice. You know, like what just happened right there between you and I is what I feel like is the part of the creative process that moves me the most mm-hmm. is that, you know, there's the vulnerable willingness to put a moment of creativity into the world, right? Which of course they don't all have to go that direction, but in doing so, then there is the mirroring and the reciprocity and the reflection of how it might move or touch another person. And then as you share that, it re-inspires me and you know, and it goes round and round.
Yeah, that cycle continues. Well, what is your secret to creativity?
Probably I've revealed a few of them already, but if I could add another, in addition to embodiment, which mm-hmm. is one biggie, and the other is nature, another biggie. But a third that I would name is that for years, I have been a active dreamer. Mm-hmm. And I have kept a dream journal for many years and really enjoy, and I know not everyone remembers their dreams, but it's amazing to me how much potency there can be even in a little snippet of a dream that we can recall. And the process of attending to the way that our minds are by nature creative, that our dreams reveal that in the, you know, I mean, goodness. And I know that I'm not alone in this. Quite a few of us have been talking about the bizarre nature of dreaming during this COVID period.
Yeah.
And, but it is how we process our world, mm-hmm. right? And so sometimes the act of paying attention to a dream and allowing myself to embody or work with or get curious about the dream will spark one of those reflections, right? Will spark a momentum of how I want to move the dream or what archetypes am I tapping into in myself. So that would be another one that I would say is a key element to keeping the spark alive.
Nice. I love that idea of keeping the spark alive. The how do you choose to do that in your life, because I think it is a choice for many people to align themselves in that space. Mm-hmm. And not everyone makes the choice, which is fine And for those who want to and don't feel they can, it can be a choice. So thank you so much for sharing all the secrets. I love them. It's awesome.
It's so fun to talk with you.
Thanks. It's great to talk with you too. So if people wanted to get in touch with you or get one of your four books or learn more about you, how might they go about doing that?
All right. Well, there's quite a few ways to stay in touch. One would be to go to my website, and that is drarielschwartz.com. That's drarielschwartz.com. And I have a blog on there, and you can sign up to receive the blog. And you can also scroll back through the several hundred in the archives and have a lot of fun with that if you'd like. The books are all linked in there on the website. And I use of the social media platforms, Instagram, you will find my nature photos more than anything. And Facebook, you will find all sorts of ways to connect through yoga and through yoga classes that are now online because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And through lots of ways to communicate on there. So Facebook at Dr. Ariel Schwartz is the other biggie.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. It's been a true pleasure. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Absolute pleasure for me as well.
Thanks for listening to the Sustaining Creativity Podcast. We'd love to keep in touch, so like us on Facebook and Instagram. We are Sustaining Creativity. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Tag your friends and your family so they can listen too. We love to hear from you, so leave your comments, reviews, and questions. Tune in Tuesdays for a new episode. And remember, with creativity, anything's possible.